So my name is Praveen Haladi, and I'm the technical product manager here for NodeSource. So NodeSource, we call ourselves the enterprise node company. So that's a pretty bold stake in the ground, right? So, you know, everybody loves Node. You know, 7 million developers out there, 100% growth rate year over year. And then, but there is a reason why we call ourselves the enterprise node company. We are fairly young. We are still a startup. We are post-Series A. We are about 30-plus people. We have an office here in San Francisco where I'm based, but we have our engineering and sales teams all over the world, actually. So we have people from Sydney in Korea, in the UK, and, you know, spread all across the United States and North America. We have engineers working from Canada. We have a support engineer working from Colombia and so on. So we are distributed by design. And we, as I said, we are pretty small. We were incorporated, I believe, in 2014. So we are about, I'm not even sure whether we've completed our third anniversary. I myself have been working for this company for a little over 3 months now. So I'm relatively new also.
Okay. Where did you come from? What was your background?
Yeah, certainly. So I come from GE Digital, so which is huge, right? So part of GE, but I come from GE Digital, which is here in the East Bay, and they operated a lot like a startup because they have an IoT platform. You must have heard of Predix. So I come from the big data world, you know, Cloud Foundry, Hadoop, that sort of world. So from there to here has not been that difficult a transition because, you know, it's moving from one agile company to another. So it's been great so far. And I'm really excited to be working for NodeSource in this Red Hat industry because, meetups on Node, and I see, I've been in the industry for a long time, about 20 odd years, and I've seen it grow from, you know, C++ to Java to, and in those XML days where I've been a developer myself and an architect, I've seen it grow, especially in the web space, you know, web 1.0, 2.0, and now we have cool new microservices and containerized based models and so on. So it's awesome to see the movement and the traction in the industry as well as for Node itself.
So let's dig in a little bit to the business proposition. So many people who use Node will of course know NPM. I mean, I don't think you can do much with Node without it. So a repository of dependencies and modules and things like that. Why might someone need something else apart from that?
Yeah, so that's a great question, right? So Node itself is very stable, and in a way, we are competing against ourselves. And I say that because we, as a company, have two strategies, a community strategy as well as a commercial strategy. So if somebody goes out and wants to download a build package for Ubuntu or Debian or Red Hat Linux, they actually go and then download it from one of our servers. So we are one of the top three sources for open source free Node.js downloads. Ourselves. So that's part of our community strategy, our open source strategy. We have committers on our staff. We have, I think the chairperson of the technical steering committee is on our staff, Rod Bagg of the Node Foundation. So we are very actively involved in the Node Foundation. So Node by itself is a great stable product, low footprint, small image. And you mentioned NPM, you know, huge ecosystem out there, 400,000 plus modules, right? So it seems geared for developers to just jump in and start building and deploying apps. Now, the question comes in as to, oh, how do I make sure my app is efficient, right? How do I make sure it's stable once it's in production? You know, how do I debug nitty-gritties? You know, in this world of, you know, containerization, orchestration, microservices at scale, in thousands of node processes out there. What if something goes wrong? You know, do I know, do I have the right tools to go in and debug? For DevOps people, the concern is, you know, how do I make sure everything is green on my dashboards, right? Everything is running. And if something goes down, how do I reduce MTR, the mean time to resolve issues, right? How do I ensure that downtimes are minimal and so on? So you need tools for that, monitoring tools and debugging tools.
So basically, you're adding on top of... okay, well, let's start. So firstly, do you provide an additional source to NPM, or do you provide kind of a layer on top saying we've checked these modules, this one's okay, this one's not, et cetera, et cetera? Or are you kind of forking them into a separate space?
Okay, so great question. So let me make this clear. We have two commercial products. One is nSolid, which is our Node.js runtime, it's the same runtime that somebody can go and download it for free. But what we've done is we've baked our secret sauce into it, which essentially gives you a ton of telemetry, node telemetry. Right. I'm going to come to certified modules later, but so this is with this, we are answering the question that I posed earlier. It's great. I build my apps using Node. You know, how do I make sure that everything is going fine? How do I make sure my application, you know, I'm in the middle of sprint cycles or whatever. I need to develop and deploy code quickly. How do I make sure that my application is efficient and can scale well in production? Right. So that's why you use our runtime, which is nSolid. It's LTS compliant, you know, 4.6, and soon we're going to have LTS 8 in October. So it's LTS compliant. And we also have images. I think when in the meeting invitation, I saw the topic was nSolid for Alpine, right?
Yeah, so, yeah, that was something that piqued my interest a little bit. Well, maybe we'll come back to that. But yeah, carry on.
Yeah. So essentially, that's just a deployment target. So our customers out there say, we use Docker. So do you have anything for Docker? Do you have an image for Docker? So we say, fine, we'll build you images for Docker. And then we have this new distribution of Linux with a really small footprint and a focus on security called Alpine. And customers obviously want an nSolid image for Alpine. And that's what we give. So that's what we announced back in April. So it's a deployment target. Now, coming back to the product itself, we have a drop-in replacement for the free Node.js runtime. So you all you have to do is, instead of running your Node application with Node, you just run it with nSolid, and that's it. There's no code instrumentation. There's no require modules. There's no additional things you have to install, and there's no performance overhead because this is all in the runtime. We don't pollute the event loop, you see. And I'm saying this specifically because obviously there's a lot of heavyweights out there in the industry who realize that Node is taking off and they should be in the game, like these APM vendors, right? So they have, you know, the application performance monitoring vendors, they've so far catered to Java and Python and Ruby and Django and all of these. And now they see Node coming up and they say, oh, we need to be in that space too. But they cannot provide the type of telemetry that we can provide because we hook in so deeply into the runtime.
And also, interestingly, I see you're providing things like vulnerability monitoring. And is that live vulnerability monitoring? Yeah.
Yeah. So that's real-time vulnerability monitoring as your application is running in memory. So... if you think of it in layers, you have at the bottom, you have our runtime. Even if you just install our runtime, you'll get all the telemetry. So you can pipe it straight to any of your visualization tools like Datadog or Graphite or Grafana, right? And that's the other thing we do. So we don't force customers to use our UI.
Yeah, using StatsD. So, yeah.
Right? Using StatsD, you know, it's StatsD compliant. All you have to do is to configure the StatsD endpoint in host and port where your StatsD daemon is listening. All these 40 plus metrics are going to be streamed right every second. They're going to just go straight to your dashboards. And then you get the entire holistic picture, whatever StatsD compliant dashboards are being used. If you're on AWS, it'll be CloudWatch. If you're on GCP, it'll be, you know, StackDriver and so on. App Insights on Azure and so on. So totally open. So that's the bottom layer. On top of that is our debugging feature, which includes the console. And that's where you can see the security vulnerabilities. So we have a very intuitive UI where, number one, you can see if there are any known security vulnerabilities, you know, in the packages that are in your applications while it's running. Number two, it gives enhanced debugging capability. So for instance, you can actually set thresholds. So if memory goes over a certain threshold or CPU usage goes over a certain threshold, you know, you can actually kick off a CPU profile, or you can take a snapshot of memory. And it's really cool. I mean, if you've seen one of these flame graphs, you know, it's amazing. You can actually, and I myself, I come from a product management background. I left the engineering world a few years ago. So I never really delved that deep into, you know, DevOps and investigating the stack traces and so on recently. And when I came in, I saw, wow, this is so cool.
I've met a few recently. I was recently on a trip to Tel Aviv, where there's a lot of companies who are very good at this kind of technology, and I met some similar companies who do something in the JVM world and a couple of others, and it's become, I think, because processing and compute power has become powerful enough to be able to handle these sorts of services with next to no impact. You now have these amazing services that can jump in right pinpointing to a code level problems and identifying problems and things like that. It's quite an interesting space right now. I wouldn't mind moving on to a second question, then we might sort of revisit some of this in a minute. So let's talk about the certified modules as well. How does that work?
Sure. Yeah, so certified modules, we are targeting a different area. We are targeting governance and compliance, right? And so coming back to NPM, 400,000 plus modules, very thriving ecosystem out there. Now, the natural question for large enterprises, you know, we talk to banks, we talk to healthcare providers and so on, large telecom companies. The question in their minds is, you know, we are introducing third-party packages into our ecosystem. What are some of the pitfalls of doing so, right, in terms of introducing security vulnerabilities or licensing issues, for instance, right? Because these are open source licenses, and many times companies want to use these packages in their commercial offerings. So there can be legal liabilities arising from using these non-compliant packages, right? So the question that we are trying to answer, or the problem we are trying to solve, is we make sure that before you introduce these third-party modules into your ecosystems, that they are fully vetted and certified by us. And what we provide is a curated registry where we've pre-certified these packages. So instead of pointing, you mentioned NPM, so instead of pointing to the NPM registry, all the customer needs to do is point to our registry. So we'll provision a node source certified registry, which is like identical to the NPM registry, right? The only difference being that we've certified every version of every package out there. Now, how does it matter? There's two things. Number one, you can go to the Node Source Certified Modules portal and then search for modules, and you can get the trusted score. There's a red, amber, green. We certify modules based on certain criteria, right? So there's there's a couple of critical criteria. One, the two critical criteria are licensing. We make sure that they're, you know, Apache or BSD or MIT. We don't recognize copyleft licenses, so to speak, and then there may be packages with no licenses. Licensing is one criteria. The other one is known security vulnerabilities. So tying back to what we provide in NSolid, right? Same thing. So if there are any known security vulnerabilities, we will not certify the package. It'll fail. Apart from those, we have certain other criteria. We check for package documentation. You know, does it have a README file? How large is the package? I mean, if it's really bloated, then it means, you know, it's kind of a health check, right? It's not been designed well. So we kind of lower the score there a little bit. They're non-critical criteria, but still the score will be slightly lower. So if a user goes to Certified Modules portal and then types in, you know, Express or Grunt or any one of these packages, then they can actually see the score and they can see whether it's passed or failed. And that's not it. We know that one of the key benefits of Node is, you know, its reusability and modularity. So you can have, you know, huge dependency trees, right?
Yeah.
So you never know. Exactly. So, you know, we know there are other offerings out there that, you know, check your package.json and check that particular package and then tell you if there are any licensing issues. But what we do is we do scan the entire dependency tree. We go down and then look at the dependencies of that package, dependencies of those packages, and so on. And we can do that because we've pre-certified the whole thing so that the score we provide is actually an aggregate score for that package,
okay.
Which and includes all, yeah, the whole yeah, yeah. dependency.
And not just, and then it the whole score gets brought down by one sort of flaky dependency, then, yeah, okay. So how does this, I can see on the Certified Modules page pricing. Two questions. How does NSolid and Certified Modules work in terms of pricing? And I guess related to that, how successful have you been in kind of convincing development teams or bosses of development teams that this is useful to them as opposed to them just figuring it out themselves?
Right. So before delving into pricing, let's talk about our sales strategy, right? Because that impacts pricing as well. Now, there's various ways to approach this. We have the web channel sales where you can have a touchless experience. You can go in and sign up and swipe your credit card and then just get going. And then you have enterprise sales where you cater to larger groups, you know, ELAs, you know, enterprise licensing agreements, larger groups of people, numbers of processes, etc. So for NSolid, we've always followed an enterprise sales strategy right since the beginning because we are targeting these DevOps teams primarily. Developers find a lot of value as well. I mean, I've personally talked to customers as part of, product interviews that there are companies where different teams use NSolid. Development teams use it, QE teams use it, and DevOps teams use it for different purposes. So I wouldn't say we only target DevOps, but we found in the last couple of years that decision makers in DevOps teams are most likely to buy and solve it.
Okay. So I guess the pitch is it saves them a lot of work. That's the pitch with a lot of SaaS products, of course. But
right,
save you the time. You could do it yourself, but we'll save you the time, and you can spend that time on other things. So, but just is NSolid free to use, or is that also licensed somehow? Or I don't know, like so, capped somehow in terms of usage or...
So when you say free to use, you mean in terms of pricing?
Well, just because in terms of Certified Modules, I can see a fairly clear kind of pricing box at the bottom.
Yeah.
But with NSolid, I'm not 100% sure, like, can anybody just use it? Or is there a point where you, after like 30 days or something, it says, oh, you know?
Well, we have free trials too, but the... you know, as I said, we are focusing on enterprise sales. So usually sales wants to come in and then they want to, we can provision trial licenses for, 14 days. They can be renewed and so on. So sales is very tightly involved in the trial process. Now, certified modules, it's really new, right? nSolid has been around, I think, for 2 years. So certified modules is very brand new. We released certified modules just in March. And the target buyer for certified modules are, and that's what we found recently, are, senior executives, VP, managing director level, compliance VPs, and so on. People who are genuinely worried about bringing in untrusted third-party packages and so on. Because not so much for developers or DevOps, right? So it's more to do with compliance.
Sure. I've actually been doing a little bit of compliance work with a couple of companies recently, and there's actually it's something you don't realize often until you start delving into that world, and then you realize why people care about it so much.
Yeah, exactly.
So from a developer carry on. Yep.
Yeah, so, just to answer your question about pricing, right? So when we started off, we had a pretty high floor. We had a floor of $1,000 for up to 50 users. But then we realized that a lot of smaller teams are interested in using certified modules just to try it out. And I'm not talking about, VP compliance. These are just developer teams. So we said, hey, this is unexpected, right? We weren't targeting developers in the first place, but we have small startups who are also worried about governance and compliance. They would love to look at certified modules. So they say, but we don't have 50 people in our company. We have like 10 people or 12 people or 20 people. So, and that's the motivation of offering this lower cost, $100 a month plan where, a mid-level manager can swipe his or her credit card for $100 and then just see if, it provides any value for them. So that was the thinking behind upfront pricing for certified modules. Having said that, when our sales teams go and pitch to clients, they're interested because since these are complementary offerings, they find strong interest in both our products, nSolid for monitoring, debugging, and real-time security monitoring, as well as certified modules for a curation aspect of it, right? So we've here is a NodeSol certified registry for you to use. Make sure you don't use any non-compliant packages into your ecosystem. So that's the value proposition there. So hopefully that answers your question on pricing.
Sure. So from a developer perspective, just out of interest, can I run vanilla Node and NPM and NodeSol side by side in something like NVM or just... Because I could see from some of the brief documentation that you use the same namespace. So is there a way that I can have both running on a development system, or is NodeSol only designed for production systems anyway?
Oh, you can definitely run nSolid on your development systems too. It's absolutely, it doesn't matter. And you can also run a combination of these too. So we don't preclude users from using vanilla Node.
And do you feed into something like NVM? Just because I know in Node is one of those areas where versions can matter. So you have these tools for switching between versions. So, is that you match the kind of main Node versions, I guess?
Yeah, so we are fully LTS compliant, 4 and 6, and then soon to be released 8. Now, about your specific question on NVM, I need to get back to you because I'm fairly new to Node myself, so I'll need to get back to you on that
No problems. Okay, so just sort of wrapping up, one of your most recent announcements, which we sort of covered in a conversation, was that you're now the NSolid product is integrating with StatsD, and you've already also mentioned the Alpine option, so you're very much going for that kind of we can be a component in your stack, but whatever the rest of your stack is, it doesn't matter so much because we have options for you. We're using standard open source tools to mean that whatever else you've got, it can plug in somehow, which is great. I mean, that's always one of the biggest issues with a lot of kind of enterprise, I'm not going to say proprietary because you're not fully proprietary, but enterprise systems is, you know, we've got to replace everything. So, which is always a pain. So that's great. And I guess what's on the horizon? What's coming up next? What's your next announcements? What's on the roadmap?
Right.
That you can talk about.
So we've got a lot of exciting stuff coming up. And what we're trying to do is we do these customer surveys, customer interviews all the time. So we want to make sure that when we build features, that they provide immediate value to customers. And the best way to do it is if customers ask for it themselves. It's not always possible because we've got a fantastic forward-looking engineering team who themselves can come up with a lot of ideas. But my job is to make sure there's a product market fit, that when a feature goes out, people are excited to use it and it provides real value for them. So there's a few areas where we are planning to focus our efforts on going forward. One is making it even easier for developers to debug their applications, right? For instance, every APM vendor out there, you can get your memory profiles, but then you still have to load it into Chrome DevTools and then look at your bottlenecks. You compare your Snapchats and so on. So one of the questions that we have is, hey, can we do this in NSolid where, you don't even have, a developer doesn't have to go outside and do this extra step of loading your snapshots or profiles into Chrome DevTools. Can we do that in NSolid so that it reduces that step and then saves him or her that much of time, So those are the kind of questions that we try to answer. Also, enriching our console. So, we have a lot of ideas around how to add more value utilizing or making sense of the metrics. Going back to our most recent release, the StatsD, right? StatsD integration is one aspect. The main value is really the metrics that we provide, the telemetry that nobody else does, like async activity, deep event loop health metrics, and so on. Now, how do we visualize them in a way that's meaningful to customers and they can actually see real value? So those are some of the things that we are going to work on in the coming months.
And actually, your final point there is something I'd like to sort of wrap up with. I will admit I am in Berlin. It's the evening and a friend has just arrived for dinner. So I'll wrap up. But so I can see there's, I think NPM, I'm pretty sure, offers kind of a similar idea for modules. And I know some other companies that offer like the security scanning on node applications, things like that. But I, as far as I know, I can't think of anyone who kind of offers the whole package. But in all honesty, in all brutal honesty, do you have any direct competitors? And I think you've already kind of said what you think your special sauce is, but who do you consider kind of your competitors and alternatives to what you offer?
Yeah, so I think the brutally honest response is, and I'm talking about just Node itself. Mm. We are competing against vanilla Node since it's so stable, yeah. Right? So it's like superbly stable package. Now there are APM vendors out there, and then who claim to cater to everybody, right? So when we walk into a customer's office, they say, hey, but we just bought X, and then they do everything. Then we have to go that extra step and prove that our incremental offering, the additional telemetry or the curated registry provides that additional value. Even though, you know, you mentioned NPM, you know, you have NPM Enterprise or NPM Orgs or Teams, they do have add-ons, they do have NSP add-ons or FOSSA and so on, but nobody offers a curated registry right out there where somebody can go and search for modules even before they, you know, bring them into their ecosystem. So curation is what we are competing on. Apparently, by the look at it, you will see quite a few offerings out there that offer, say, security scanning or license checking and so on.
So actually, I do have one final question, I think, and I don't know if you've been with the company long enough to know if the answer to this, and I'm not even sure if I'm asking the right question, but let's give it a go. So do you think using, if I was a customer using NodeSource instead of Node, would I have been prevented against like problems that occurred with the infamous Leftpad incidents? Incident.
Yeah, that's right. So had it occurred today, you definitely have. Now, having said that, I mean, I'll be in all honesty, I think NPM itself has fixed that problem, right?
Yeah.
So now it's immutable. Yeah.
Okay,
so,
yeah.
We don't have that, I believe, anywhere on our positioning statements. At least I don't talk about Leftpad because
I think it's more in terms of does your monitoring kind of suddenly go, oh, hang on a minute, something's gone a bit wrong here, and have an ability to kind of notify customers that there's a potential issue about to occur, or you know, a preemptive, preventative sort of trigger because of the sorts of monitoring you have in place, I guess, is maybe a thought. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So definitely. I think there, it's more than monitoring, it would be our registry, which kind of
protected.
Which will safeguard you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Protected. Yeah. It's immutable. So had we had certified modules back when the Leftpad incident have happened, you would not have been affected by it because, you know, you would be protected against that incident.
Well, I think that's a sales line if there is any no other.